We'll go to the New Testament after that. I'm going to read much of this passage in Exodus chapter 3. Last November, the Lord laid much of this upon me, and I spent weeks parsing through information the Lord had given me. It was just raw information, and I never actually got a message out of it. The Lord occasionally will have me just take the raw information, raw data, if you will, and just run with it and see what God will do with it. In Exodus chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, the large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. If you go to the book of Matthew, just look at a couple of places in Matthew, and then we'll go to the book of John after that. Who is I am? I am hath sent you. What does that mean to us today? We're not Moses. We don't see a bush that burns. We're not going to bring God's people out of Egypt land. What does I am mean to us today? Well, Jesus Christ, speaking to Matthew 9, begins to tell us. And he tells us in verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And then notice these two words. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who is I am? It's he that came to call sinners to repentance. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he came to call sinners, and he's still calling sinners today. Chapter 11, the book of Matthew, in verse 29. He said, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus Christ again is speaking. For I am meek, and lowly in heart. It is another promise of I am. Ye shall find rest for your souls. In the turmoil of this world, the turmoil of this life, rest is found in I am. He calls the sinner to repentance. And the marvelous grace of God hath appeared to all men everywhere. Gives that sinner rest. And that's why Wesley could write that grand hymn of the faith. Because he found rest for his soul. He lay his head on his pillow at night and have peace with God. And have rest in his heart. And can I say that a God that cannot keep your family, and a God that cannot stir in your family, and a God that can't change your family, a God that can't change a sinner is a pretty weak God. That's not I am.
That's right.
That's I am Antichrist. These people say, well, I got saved and it didn't help me very much. Well, I've never known anybody that ever meant that in their heart that believed that.
That's exactly right.
You get saved, it'll change everything. He'll give you rest, friend. He'll give you peace. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Amen. The Son of the living God. I am that I am. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter. And Peter knows who he is. Peter identifies who he is. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
Again, he's the revealer of hearts. He'll bring rest to your soul. He came to save sinners. Matthew chapter 22. I'll start in verse 29. They're trying to trip Jesus Christ up, which was pretty silly on their part. And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given a marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I am. Let's go to the book of John. John had a little bit more insight into I am. And in all the Gospels, John posted more of I am. I suspect that it's his closeness to Christ. I suspect it is that close relationship he had with Christ that he knew he was the I am. John 6, and I'll just do these in order. Again, we got raw data, but I'll just do these in order, just to make it easy on myself, easy on you. Don't have to backpedal. John 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And notice what he says, he that cometh to me, what's the obligation to man to come? What's the call to man always been to come? Come unto me. Why? He'll give you rest. Come unto me. I'm the bread of life. You'll never hunger. He says, come unto me and he'll give you waters of life. The things that sustain you are in Christ. He's the bread of life. He goes on. He says on this wise, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. You hungry? He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Are you thirsty? But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm studying earlier for our podcast, and I was looking at those that have been cast out. And I looked at the lives of people cast out. We read in Exodus 3, where God marked the Canaanite, the Jebusite, the Girgashite, the Hittite. He said, I'm going to drive them out of the land. We see then he tells us in the scripture they were cast out of the land. They were cast out from God. You go through the scripture, you see those that are cast away, those that are set aside, those that are God has cast out of his sight. But he said, he that cometh to me, who I am, I will in no wise. And by the way, that word will there denotes his will. Because he is not willing that any should perish. And he said, I will in no wise cast out. Some of you in this room, I'm not trying to be personal. You know who you are. You know I love you. I can say this to you publicly. I've challenged you with that. Why won't you come? Why won't you come? There's the cross. There's the Savior crucified. Hands outstretched. The evidence is scriptural. The evidence is in the Word of God. He said, I would, but he would not come. He said, you'll come to him. He will not cast you. He will in no wise cast you out. You know why? It's not his will to cast you out if you'll come. But you'll come believing that he is. You'll come believing that he is, I am. And if you do, he will not cast you out. That's a promise of God. His will is that you be saved. The grace of God hath appeared to all men everywhere. Amen. And his will is that you're saved. That you're saved. That you're saved. And by the way, if you got up and took scripture and rebuked me and showed me from the scripture how wrong I was, a quote of Samuel, I wouldn't have to have a baby ask him tonight to sleep worried about what you thought about that. Because he is willing to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. John 7:29. Start in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not, for I know him. And again he says, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. He establishes, he is, I am. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So why won't men come? They love darkness rather than light. Now let's establish a doctrine. This isn't flexible, because their deeds are evil. I've had somebody even recently that spoke with me about their lost condition. They're not here. Because I don't understand why I can't believe. But I've watched that pride. I've watched that pride rise up. That pride of life. Pride of who I am. Pride of my genealogy. Pride of my culture. I've watched that pride rise up in them. Too proud. They'll say one thing with their lips, but then pride overthrows them. They love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. John 8 and verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. And notice this, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. In verse 18, he said, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. In verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye're of this world. I am not of this world. He establishes that he's God. He establishes that he's God made flesh. Yet men see him as just a man. They see him through the eyes of flesh. They cannot establish in their hearts that he is the Christ. Yet it was revealed to Peter. Yet the average person Jesus Christ is dealing with, they went away from him. Why did they go away? Because they did not believe that he was. They did not believe the I am. They love miracles. And by the way, people still love miracles. If I was a so-called faith healer, probably have three times the crowd here tonight. Not being funny about that, they'd wheel in wheelchairs, they'd come in slings and with crutches and leprosies and in hospital beds, and they'd come in for the healing. When you just preach Jesus Christ, the healer of broken hearts, the healer of souls, they don't want to hear that. They love the miracles. They love the things he did. They love the things he did for them. Yet they would not believe that he was I am. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Who is he? I am. Jesus Christ, not of this world. He is from above, he's not of this world. He told them, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. Did they believe that? No, they did not believe that. Why? They could not have faith to believe that he was the Christ. What's changed today? Absolutely nothing. They don't have faith to believe that he's Christ. Most so-called, and I'll use the term churches, lowercase c with an apostrophe, just to clarify that, have a very weak Christ, if they have any Christ. They have a Christ that's wimpy. They have a Christ that's a pushover. They have a Christ that you tell what your standard is. That you tell how you want to dress. That you tell how you want to live. That you tell how you want to worship. They have a soft, wimpy God that you push around and you tell him what you're going to do. And he just accepts you for who you are. That's not the I am of the Bible. He said, you don't believe me, you'll die in your sins. That's the I am of the Word of God. You don't believe the I am of the law? Sometime you take the book of Numbers, you look up that phrase, I am, in the book of Numbers, and you'll find he says some things today to be considered really stout. And I've preached it. I've watched people balk against it. One lady told a pastor down south, said, I don't know if I believe all that. And he said, well, that's why you're lost then. Yes. You don't believe the I am of law, you won't believe the I am of Christ. You won't believe the I am of the Psalms, you won't believe the I am of the Gospels. Why? It's the same I am.
Amen.
He's the I am of Moses. He's the I am of Abraham. He's the I am of Isaac. He's the I am of Jacob. He's the I am of David, the psalmist. He's the great I am. He's never changed. He's never going to change. And he's telling them, this is me. And they hardened their hearts. They would not believe that he was the Christ. Psalm 58, John chapter 8. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They're looking to Father Abraham. Can I just say this? That's that genealogy. That's their, that wonderful, glorious gospel preached to Abraham. But the focus of that gospel preached to Abraham was not Abraham. It was the seed of Abraham. The gospel preached to Abraham, the focus has never been Abraham. It's been the I am of Abraham. Jesus tells him before Abraham was, I am. That's never changed. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Why? He said he's greater than Abraham. He was before Abraham. Oh, they loved Abraham. Can I say I suspect there's some people even in our ministry, people under the umbrella of my ministry, they probably respect me more than they respect God. There's people that love their pastors more than they love God. They worry more about what the evangelist thinks than what God thinks.
Uh-oh.
They worry more about what the missionary thinks than what God thinks. Why? Because they're always trying to impress the pastor. Always trying to impress the missionary. Trying to impress the evangelist. But you can't impress God.
That's right.
I'm so gullible. If you come up to me and tell me you love the Lord, I'll believe you. Amen. We sang the other night. We sang, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And the pastor asked, "How many of you meant that?"
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We can sing it easily, but do we mean that in the heart?
Yeah.
Oh, Brother McVeigh, oh, we just love your sermons. Well, don't worry about that. Do you love the God of the sermon?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Now, don't say this to me this week. I've had over 10 times in my ministry, my wife will vouch for me. She said, people have come up to you. Had a lady in Maine recently. I forget where we were just a couple weeks ago. And a couple months ago, rather, somebody came up to me and said, they go, "You remind us of a young Billy Graham." If I'm lying, I'm dying. It might be strike right over those boys are sitting. I'm telling you now. They go, "You remind me of a young..." And I'm going, "Have you ever actually listened to what I'm saying?" Have you ever actually listened to the words that are being preached? Have you ever actually listened to the message that God is trying to break through your heart and show you I am? It's not in the logistics. It's not in the nuances. It's not in the persona. It's in the power of demonstration, the power of God. That's what I am gives you. That man cannot. John 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment..." Boy, that'll kind of knock some of this modernism off its legs. "For judgment, I am come into the world." For judgment, I am come into the world. Why? "That they which see not might see. That they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." As I am telling them that they're sinners. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." How can he say he's the door? He said, "I am come that you might have life." Why is he the door? Because he said, "Come unto me." How do you come? You come to the door. Certainly, it's not that simple. Well, it is. We just complicate it. We make it hard. We make it hard by sin, by our own devices, our own confusions. A lady told me last year, she spoke of a particular person. She said, don't want to be a part of that. I mean, that they're so confused. And I said, "Well, why do you think they're confused?" She said, "Well, they just seem really confused to me." I said, "They don't believe God." Did I stutter? "I'm so confused. Why you don't believe God?" You believed him, the confusion would cease.
Amen. Come on
now. It'd be crystal clear.
Yeah.
He is I am of the door. Verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
So he's come to call sinners to repentance. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Get ahead of myself a little bit. He's come that they might have life. What a wonderful Savior.
Amen. Glory to God.
I was dead in trespasses and sins, yet he still came to me.
Yeah.
I was lost on my way to hell, just vile, wretched. But like old Wesley, I sit in that cell one day of sin, the bondage of sin, and mine eye diffused a quickening ray.
Yeah.
It was the light of the world. It was Jesus Christ. And I woke. What does that mean? He gave me life. He passed from death unto life. He awakened me. And then Wesley said the dungeon flamed with light. You know why? Because he came to seek. He came to save. He came to give life and to give life more abundantly. Then he said, I am the good shepherd. Thank God for that. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. And I like that. He is an hireling. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known of mine. Jesus Christ speaking. Jesus Christ on our behalf. In verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The words that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John chapter 11, in verse 25. Has anybody figured out who he is yet? We read over there in Exodus, and I want to make sure we're all caught up on the same page. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Well, make sure we understand that. Okay. He's speaking of himself. And in verse 25, I'm not making light of that for anything. Hey, I was hoping somebody would run the aisles, jump out a window, something. Amen. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked that great question to each and every one of us. Believest thou this? Can I say I believe? I believe that every fiber in my body, I believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. Every fiber in my soul, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that I am came to seek and to save sinners. And the proof of that is that he saved this sinner. Passed him from death unto life. Became a shepherd. What does she say? Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should absolutely come into the world. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 13. Verse 18, he says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but the scriptures might be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, then when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Even his betrayal. His betrayal is taking place so that they can see that I am he. Why? It was prophesied in the scripture.
That's right.
I am. Judas would betray him. Yet he did that we might know that it's him. He suffered that we might know that it's him. He died that we might know that it's him. He resurrected. that we might believe that it's him. The scriptures must be fulfilled. In verse 33, little children, in a little while I'm with you. I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I say unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. John 14:6, probably the most well-known passage we'll read. Jesus said unto, saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But then he adds a little caveat in there. He's the door. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How do you have to come? To the light. How do you come? To the door. How do you come? To the good shepherd. But we don't forget that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. I am. Verse 20 again, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Chapter 15, verse 1. Speaking to the Jews, he's come to his own. And he says, I am the true vine. They're looking for that seed. They're looking for that one that's to come. And he tells them very clearly, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Why is it all in vain? Why does it all seem to be in vain? Because without him you can do nothing. He's the author. He's the finisher. It's all in I am. It's all in him. John 16. In verse 31, Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. John 17 and verse 10. And all are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The book of Acts, chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. That if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
Amen.
Whom thou persecutest. I am the door, the lawgiver. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. That's who I am, Paul. Why persecutest thou me, Saul? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, and I want you to notice one word, Lord.
Yes.
All Jesus said to him, I am Jesus. Moses, who's talking to you out of the bush? I am. I am. I am that I am. Acts chapter 10 in verse 9. Anyway, we'll skip that reference. I can't even read my own scribble. Let's try Acts 18. If that doesn't work, we'll just shout and we'll sing a song. Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. I met you on the road to Damascus. I've been with you all this time. About to send you on a great journey, Paul. About to send you on a journey like no other, Paul. But I am with thee. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. We see him again. In verse 8. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Where are we? Which is to come. What's the next great event on God's timetable? Shout. What's the archangel?
Yes.
Trump of God.
Yeah.
And I am. Will appear.
Yes. Amen. Yep.
Are you ready? In verse 18 of that same passage, Revelation 1. Let me start in verse 17. And when I saw him, hallelujah, I fell at his feet, he's dead. And by the way, John knew him.
Yes.
John walked. John had handled the word of life. And when John saw him high and lifted up, he fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And if I had another 2 hours, I'd preach on how he got the keys. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. Psalm 18, when all of death compassed him about, the sorrows of hell compassed him about. He cried.
Yes.
And his voice came into the heavens. And God heard that cry. And he said, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
Where does he have the keys? At the door. Why does he have the keys? Because he's the keeper of the door. And it's not cliche, and it's not just a gospel song. But when that door was hung at Calvary, it was hung for whosoever will.
That's right. That's
right. That's real good, yeah.
I might read a couple more verses. Revelation 2. Just stare at it for a while, because I can't read my writing. So instead, let's go to Revelation 21. It's a long, long day. I was getting a writer's crank that day. Revelation 21 and verse 16. The city lieth four square. The length is large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. Why? Because it's his city. It's the city of God. You say, whose city is that? Look at verse 6. He said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I am. You're thirsty. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Notice this. It doesn't say will. It says shall be filled. Revelation 22 in verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. And in that city we spoke about, he said, and may enter in through the gates into the city. How do they enter the gates? Come through the door. If you come through the door, you can enter the gates. And by the way, that's God's promise. Revelation 22 and 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And then he said, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And here's his exhortation to us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. Here's a problem. And whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whose will is that? Not his will. That's whosoever's will. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I am. Come. Would you come? Why won't you come? He said he's meek and lowly of heart. No matter how vile you've been, he bore in his body that iniquity. He already knows it. He already died for it. He shed his blood for it. And that's why he's meek and lowly at heart. There's nothing you're going to tell him that's going to offend him, hurt him, wound him, more than he's already been wounded. So he just tells you to come. Pastor Seeley.